We all have dreams, but dreams by their very nature can be difficult to achieve. That's where Access Credit Union comes in. Whether it's going to college, owning a car, or building your dream home, your local credit union can help you to fulfill your dreams. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Close your eyes and pull like dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport Podcast. My name is Jack McCarran of the Southern Star, and I'm joined, as always, by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarty. Before we kick things off, I'd just like to give a gentle reminder to our listeners and viewers to please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. The Star Sport Podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union is well known for supporting local West Cork sport at all levels, and we look forward to telling that story throughout the summer and beyond. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years. On this week's podcast, we're looking at the return of club football action in West Cork and focusing on Clonakilty's impressive win over St. Michael's on Monday and chatting to Clon footballer Jack O'Mahony. And in part two, we'll be chatting to Ireland's longest jumper. Shane Howard of Bandon Athletics Club is Ireland's current long jump champion, and we'll chat to him about his career and some exciting developments in the club's future. And Kieran, we're not going to waste too much time this week. We're going to chat to Jack O'Mahony momentarily, but before we do, let's just briefly touch on the return of club football around West Cork and around the country over the weekend and on Bank Holiday Monday. It was great to see so many games being played and some of the pictures on social media as well, Kieran. Any highlights to pluck out of the weekend that was?
And brilliant, first off, Jack, to see the club action back. And it's back with a bang. Like, the County League kicked off on Monday. There was Carbery Junior League on Tuesday night. And from here on in, for the next couple of weeks and months, it's GAA hurling football, Camogie ladies football, which is absolutely brilliant to see. Looking at Monday's action, Castlehaven lost at home to Valley Rovers in a 38-score bonanza. Valley's goals won the day there. O'Donovan Rossa had a good win at home to Mallow on Monday as well. A late goal there, one today for the Clonakilty, as we hear now from Jack O'Mahony quite soon. They needed a late score as well. It seems to be the order of the day on Monday that there was drama in abundance. Sean O'Donoghue, who got the winning score for Clonakilty. Carbery Rangers lost away to Kilnamartra. So Bantry Blues had a big win at home to St. Nick's. Bandon won as well. So a lot of local teams got their season off to a positive start. So just great to see the GAA club scene back, Jack, because that's going to lift everyone's spirits. Important note too, Jack, that fans were back at games from Monday as well. 100 fans, 100 spectators could enter club games, and hopefully, touch wood, that'll go up to 200 fans next month. So again, we're on the road to something a lot better. So it was great to have the GAA back, but great to see fans there too, because football is such a social outlet for so many people and for so many people in different communities throughout West Cork and beyond, that they were able to get to games on Monday, have a chat with their friends that they mightn't have seen in God knows how long, look at the game, critique the players, kind of compliment the players, say what they want, but it was just great to see fans back too. So yeah, looking at this Clonakilty win, they beat St. Michael's by 12 points to 11. Clonakilty's Kerry import Darrow O'Shea came up trumps with 8 points, 5 of those were from play. Not to be confused with the former Kerry footballer, Darrow O'Shea. He's long since retired, but this is a younger version, but also a man from West Kerry who played with Clonakilty footballers last year and was quite impressive. He's a good talisman for Clon to have, and he's proven his worth. But ideal start to the season for the Clonakilty footballers. Howie O'Neill is back in charge of them again. He's been there a couple of times now at this stage. It's either his third or fourth time back in charge of the Clon seniors. And Jack will talk, you'll hear pretty soon, we'll talk about having someone of that experience in and how Hawley's football philosophy, how the Clon players will buy into it. So I started off by asking Jack how the body was after his first football game in 8 months. The club GAA made its return on Monday with a packed schedule of county league games, and amongst them was Clonakilty's dramatic late win against St. Michael's. And joining us now on the podcast to look back on that game and ahead to Clon season is Jack O'Mahony. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much for having me, Karen.
It's the day after the game before your first competitive game in a long, long while. How was the body feeling?
Well, I'm feeling fairly sore now, to be honest. It's like waking up after playing the first game ever or something. I feel like I was in a fight or something yesterday, really, to be honest. Like, it's just first game now since last September, I think.
That is a long stretch without a game. Kind of, even coming up to the game, so against St. Michael's on Monday, was there butterflies in your stomach? Like, were you nervous? Were you anxious? Were you excited? What was the feeling?
It was yesterday. It felt like playing championship. Like, it was weird because, like, you know, league games, I've been playing league games for the last, whatever, I've been on the panel 8 years, and a league game is a league game. It's like, you know, some really feel like friendlies. But yesterday, and especially when we're on the main pitch was lined, there was a bit of a crowd there. I don't know if they're supposed to be there, but they were there. And it was just, there was serious hype around it. And the fact it was a bank holiday Monday, as well, I suppose. And then it was on a 4 o'clock, so you're waiting around all day to play it. So it was weird. I've never played a league game like that before.
But it's great just to have the GAA back. And like you said, there was last September since you last played a game. Yeah. So how much did you miss actually playing games?
You'd miss games most, but like, as in, you'd miss just, geez, like, there's only so much training you can do by yourself. Like, and you're like, as an obviously now, like senior football, like, you have to be at it all the time and be gym running the whole lot. But it's a lot easier doing when you're in the lads and there's a bit of crack. But then, like, last day, when we're getting to, like, January, February, and it seems just going on, you're doing the same thing over again. But to be back then playing, training is one thing, which, like, but to be back playing a game so fat, I thought it'd be a good one before I get to play a game. But, like, we were all, you know, everyone was nearly kind of on edge playing because we were so excited about getting the game. And we had a good few lads made debuts as well. And it was just really nice to get back actually playing a game.
And looking at the game itself, it's Sean O'Donoghue who popped up with a late winner. Clon won 12 points to 11. You mentioned there a couple of lads made their debuts and so on, and as well as getting back in the pitch. Was it important to get that win to kick off the season as well?
I think massive for us, like, because I think last year, before COVID, we put in a massive off-season and we were training 4 nights a week from November. We did all that, and then we got to March and the whole thing got cancelled. Didn't train for a few months then, and we were just like, what was going on? But then this year as well, now 4 weeks we've been flat out. I mean, we have a Neil DC in training, and he's fantastic. And obviously, Joe Hawley has a massive amount of experience. So, Joe is just getting a win is important for us as well. Like the last 2 years we played Michaels, they've hammered us. And then, especially with us, we're missing whatever, you know, we can't give out of it. We're missing four lads who are playing with Cork all the time. And just getting a win in the league is really important, especially the setup this year now with the top two going through and top two for the semi-finals and all that. You know, like, we'd love to be involved that way.
It sets you up well, actually, for the next couple of games. Like you said, there, the way these County League Cups are this year, it's groups of four teams. So you've got a win under your belt now and ahead of your next game. Like, you've points on the board, so it puts you in a fairly good position.
Puts in a great position now, like, and I think we're away to kind of match the next in 2 weeks' time. So, you know, hopefully if we go in there, get a job done there, like, we'd be in a great position going forward. Like, and then we'd be playing Ross in the last game. So, like, I think actually the setup now with the four teams each is a great idea, because it really, I don't know, was the league maybe getting a little bit stagnant at times. This, I think, is a fantastic idea, to be honest.
And that's a tasty little derby against Ross to look forward to in a couple of weeks. There could be a lot on the line when that game comes around.
There's always a lot of language playing Ross, especially like they've had the better of us now for the last few years in championship. And I think, you know, I don't want to get confident, but I think we definitely owe them one at some stage. So hopefully maybe, you know, Ross have, geez, they have a very strong team as well. Like, so we'd always be up against them, but like, you know, we have to fancy ourselves as well.
Another significant part of the game yesterday was Hawley O'Neill. It was back as manager for, I don't know, is this his second, third or fourth time, but he's back again. So, what's it like training under him? Because he's a local GAA legend. He's been there, he's done that. So what does he bring as a manager, and what's it like to play under him?
It's mainly just, you know, experience more than anything. But even things like, I think, like, people are trying to complicate things so much in terms of GAA and how the professionalism these days, whereas Hawley, like, the main, keep it simple, like, he's like, if someone is in a better position, give them the ball. If you can shoot, score, you know, he just, and tries to bring in maybe a nicer side of football, more attacking style, and it's just confidence is key with him. Like, and Joe, it's a pure next man up situation now as well. There's no names really matter to Hawley in terms of the team. Everyone has to do a job. Like, I think we had lads, was it like yesterday now, we had three or four lads came on because we were missing a good few yesterday. That Joe, I'd say, it was their first time ever playing senior, ever being on a panel senior, and he just doesn't have a bother at all. If you're doing okay in training, you're in. And Joe, he's like, I think he was manager in 96 when my father played, and he was manager when they won the county, and he was manager in 2010 as well. So obviously he's done massive experience, like, and we're delighted to have him. And he brought Neil Deasy in as well, the trainer who trained us under 2-1 a few years ago when we won a couple of West Corks, and he's fantastic as well. It's just, there's a really nice kind of positive kind of vibe around the place at the moment. I think everyone's there now, thinks we could have a big year, and obviously it's essential to have Holly in there in the middle of it.
Like you said, the hope is to have a big year, and I know the championship is further down the line. Is that why the league is so important now, to get those games, get those match minutes into you, give young fellas a go, build that panel, so when you do reach the championship, hope that could be August or so, the clan are in a really strong place?
Ah, yeah, 100%. Like, nothing's better than matches. You know, it's only so much you can do training, it's so much you can do through A versus B matches, but when you're in league matches, you really see what to have, what kind of way you play, with your blood in kind of young fellas as well, see how they get on in the games. Like, it's very hard to mirror a championship game. Now, yesterday was similar to that kind of intensity, like, but it's all about getting as many matches under the belt as possible to get prepared for championship and just see where we are, really.
You mentioned earlier, too, that the Cork contingent, obviously, they're not playing at the moment, but isn't it great to see Liam O'Donovan? He's back training fully with the Cork panel. Like, obviously, he got his cruciate injury, 12 months ago now, and he missed so much football. But to have Liam O'Donovan back, obviously, he's a huge asset to Cork football, but he'll be an even bigger asset to Clonakilty when he comes back in.
100% sure. I think I was actually away when he did it. It was against Valleys last year, but like how dedicated he's been to his rehab is crazy. Like, you know, because I think I'd never seen a fella so positive after tearing his cruciate my whole life. Because within a week or two, I think we played Ballincollig, the operation got a week or two after that. He was training, he was back doing his rehab stuff. And I saw him then about a month later. He was cycling, everything. Like, there was never going to be an issue with him. His like attitude is always second to none. And it'd be like, hopefully now we can get him back this year. It'd be fantastic to have him back in the panel. Hopefully he goes okay for Cork now as well. I think he'll be kind of trying to get back. I think he's back fully training now, so hopefully he can get back himself back in action there as well and keep himself healthy for us in August.
When you add in the White, Sean and Mark as well, and like I said, Liam O'Donovan, it's a fairly strong clan panel. So looking ahead to the championship, so the group with the Bears, Ballincollig and Island Rovers, what are your thoughts on that? I know it's a couple of months out, but having a quick look at it.
Yeah, it's pretty sure, like, it's besides Ireland, it's the same group as they had last year, I suppose. And obviously, it's very tough because, you know, I know Ireland go well last year, but the year before, they gave Ross a good clipping. Like, so they're well able and they have a good young team as well, kind of similar to ours. And it'll be a West Cork derby. And then obviously, look, the Bears and Ballincollig have crazy amount of talent. You know, they have massive panels of 20, 25 lads who'd make most teams in the county. And, you know, but we got an awful beating against Ballincollig last year. They were unbelievable on the day. So, like, we'll definitely be, We'll know what we're facing, but we have to back ourselves in today as well. Like, and so we have four involved with Cork, and we've loads of lads who played underage for Cork, and we just think that we have the talent now. And I think we had a young team before, but it's starting to kind of mature small. But now, so we'd hope that we can rattle the likes of your Tavares, Ballincollig's, Nemo's, Castle Havens, all these people now, and kind of put our print on the championship.
Talking about putting a print on the championship, you mentioned your dad earlier, part of the 96 clan team. Was football always a huge part of your house and your childhood growing up?
I suppose, like, there's no other way around it, really, to be honest. You know, my dad is a fairly well-known footballer, and my brother played football. I can remember, like, I think the only underage in clan was under eights. But my brother, when he was, my dad was training, so I was allowed to play from when I was about 4 or 5. And basically, that's when I started down the old pitch in clan, and football, soccer, rugby, hurling, anything at all we could play, we'd do it. Like, and Joe, it's just sport was... So it's what you do. School every day was sport with your friends. Every weekend was sport. And so that's it. You get into the whole kind of club ethos then as well with clan. It's like a really tight knit club. And so we had very good underage teams growing up. We won counties every now. So now we're just trying to get the same thing into the senior football team. And hopefully, you know, obviously the goal is to win a football county. Like, and that's the same for everyone. And something like, if we get through our careers and don't win that senior county, it's probably going to be a failure, but it's just so hard to win it. But that's what you want. Like, football is number one.
You mentioned that tradition too, and clan more so than other clubs, that tradition has always stood out to me. Kind of, it's passed down from generation to generation. Like, it's something that you carry with a lot of pride. But can you see that too, that how the baton is passed to the next generation and so on?
You can 100%, yeah. Even like, I think a lot of our senior football team this year have decided to, we've given hands with kind of different teams in the underage. And it's weird then, because you'd be, say, I was with the under-13s of UCO, and there's so many lads training who I know their fathers, who are maybe a few years older than me when I first played. And It's just mad the way how it goes through the family generations, and you just regenerate your new footballers and new hurlers going through the club, and then the old lads be at all the games watching them, and it's just pure. It's just like, it's nearly like a cult or something, the way they carry on with it. Like, but it's just, it's bred into you, and especially down in West Cork, it's football country, you know. But like, it's just, it's a great thing to have as well. And it's lovely, you know, that since the teams are back training, like we're going out to Hamada on, like, say, a Thursday night, the place is jammed. There's just underage, the women, lads everywhere training out in pitches. And it's fantastic to see after a long, depressing house stint with the COVID spec. Like, you know, but it's just great being out there.
And as well as a tradition of players in Clann, last year a couple of Kerry lads came on board as well, and I see Darragh O'Shea kicked 8 points against St. Michael's on Monday, so he's definitely proven his worth, as well as Joe Grimes.
Look, they're both, we were haunted to get through, and to be honest, they're both fantastic players, you know. I think Darragh O'Shea is as marquee of four as you're going to see, you know, and like his stats held for himself. I think he always gets around 6-7 points a game for us, which is ideal. You know, Joe Grimes is not a fantastic footballer. It's just, yeah, I think, like, if you look at any team in the county, you'd always see that there's always one or two lads that get in. If you look at the Havens or Nemo's or even the Bears around, there's always a few stray lads who wander in that you kind of, you need that, I think, though. You need the kind of a different angle to teams as well. It's just, it's fantastic to have them, really, to be honest. Like, it's something we really needed.
So what's the plan so for the rest of the week in terms of rest and recovery?
Rest recovery. Well, there's a bit of mostly rest today now because I'm half crippled, but back training on Wednesday, so there won't be much recovery. But I think that everyone's going to, it's one of those things there when you win a game on a Monday, you're looking forward to going training on Wednesday because there's a nice buzz around. And then we'll be back training Friday and back training Sunday again. But I think the hurlers are playing this weekend, right? So I'm not sure what we're doing for the weekend, but as I suppose they'll be flat out as well now with the junior hurling camp semi final.
And let's say Monday night, so kind of, it was just after the game, like coming down off the excitement of playing, was it a feeling, like obviously a feeling you missed not having it in so long, but how was it like to know you'd played a game, to know that Clann had won part of an exciting game, and to know that you're back into the run of things? What was that sort of feeling like?
It was a feeling you nearly forgot existed, I suppose, like, you know, because it just, we hadn't had for such a long time, and especially with, I suppose last year, when we came back after COVID, we only played championship, and the last two games we lost, so it wasn't a great feeling after them. And it was the first probably good feeling we've had since what we beat Carrigaline last year, and that wasn't even a great feeling after that because we felt we underperformed. But yesterday, you know, just winning a tight game was a fantastic feeling altogether. It's just great to get over the line, and hopefully it will kick us on for the year.
So hopefully Clann have started as you mean to go on this season. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, Jack, and best of luck for the year ahead.
That's all from. Cheers from me and Kieran.
The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Kieran, one sporting club we speak about a lot on this podcast and the success they bring to West Cork on a national and international scale is Skibbereen Rowing Club. But another West Cork sporting club that brings an almost equal amount of success to the region at a national and international scale is Bandon Athletics Club. There's, of course, the Ballineen Bullet, Phil Healy, who is Ireland's fastest woman. Her sister Joan also came up through the ranks at Bandon. And there's upstarts and big prospects like Nicola Tuttle, who is a specialist in the hammer. Ireland's longest jumper, Shane Howard, is also a graduate of Bandon Athletics Club. And he's this week's guest on the podcast. So, Kieran, tell us a little bit about Shane and what you spoke about when you caught up earlier this week.
You mentioned there, Jack, Shane Howard is Ireland's long jump champion, which is an incredible accolade to hold. So we had a chat just about the long jump because it always interests me, the technical aspect of the long jump. And Shane is coming from a multi-sport background. So he's done sprinting, he's done the hurdles. I think he did a pole vault as well. And it's just interesting to see how everything combines and why he picked on the long jump as his specialist subject. But the whole premise of our chat was because Bandon Athletic Club have launched a GoFundMe page to raise €100,000 so they can start work on their new development. So the club have purchased an 8-acre site just outside Bandon in Clonkeul Beag, I think the name of the area is. And there's hugely ambitious project there that would be such a fantastic asset to West Cork sport and even the general community. So they want to develop a 400-meter all-weather track, a field event area, and an indoor training facility. So it's an absolute, like, this club is the club that gave us Phil Healy. It's the club that's given us Shane Howard. Look at the Celtic Ross West Cork Sports Star Awards earlier this year. three of the five winners were from Bandon Athletic Club. Billy Goodwin into the Hall of Fame. Phil Healy won the Overall Sports Star Award. And Nicola Tuttle won the Youth Sports Star Award. So like you said earlier, Jack, this is a club that's producing seriously talented local athletes that are shining on the national and international stage. So it's brilliant to see the club now have their, hopefully in a couple of years' time, have their own place to call home. Because even though this club has been in existence for well over 50 years, they've never had a place to call home. They've used Bandon Grammar a couple of days a week, well, a Friday and a Saturday. Members of the club have to travel from Bandon up to CIT to use the track facilities up there. That's in a Friday evening and a Saturday morning. So they have to leave West Cork to get actual access to a full tartan track. So a part of this development will have those facilities right here at home in West Cork. So I'd urge anyone, if they can, to hop on GoFundMe.com and search out Build Our Dream Bandon AC Track Fundraiser, because the money now will help the first stage of this development to go towards development of the track. So I just urge our listeners to please support this, because it's a very, very worthy fundraiser for a club that has done tremendous things for West Cork sport. And one of their talisman, one of their main stars, is Shane Howard. And as you'll hear from him now, he fell in love with the long jump very early on. And he's a man with very high ambitions. He knows where he wants to go. And he's also a man who made headlines during the first lockdown for jumping onto hay bales at the family farm in Rathcormac. So he talks to us about that as well. Joined now on the podcast by Irish long jump champion Shane Howard. And we're going to chat about his own athletics career. And we'll also touch on Bandon Athletics Club exciting new development after the club purchased 8 acres at a site in Clowncool, Beag, just outside Bandon, where they've got full planning permission for the development of a 400-metre all-weather track, a field event area and an indoor training facility. So it's pretty exciting times for Bandon Athletic Club. And the club recently launched a GoFundMe page too, and I'll get to that quite soon. But first, welcome to the podcast, Shane.
Thank you very much.
Like I said at the start there, you're the Irish long jump champion, but you're also a multi-event athlete. I was just checking up there and you've raced 60 metres, 100 metres, 110 metre hurdles, the triple jump, the pole vault, as well as the high jump. So how did you settle on the high jump then?
I suppose I kind of did pretty much everything as a kid. Probably up to, I was probably 18, I'd say. I suppose the long jump was always my strongest throughout. That's where I suppose getting the most medals and kind of progressing the most, and I always had a natural spring, I suppose, in my step in terms of plyometrics, and kind of just settled on that as I was pushing forward, because I suppose we did look at decathlon, I suppose, when I was younger, but it's just the training for that and all the events, it's quite difficult to fit everything in, so kind of just went down the route of long jump then.
And how does someone find out that they're good at the long jump? You know, I know when it comes to sprinting, we've all sprinted as kids kind of down the grass field at the back of the house. So how did you find out that you had a skill for the long jump?
I suppose it was just kind of a natural spring that I had. I suppose I started athletics when I was very young. I was probably about 5 or 6. My older sister was in it, and I kind of got pulled into it that way as well. I was always naturally quick. And I suppose when you're a kid, kind of 60 metres and long jump are kind of the first events that you ever do with distance racing. But I knew pretty early on that distance wouldn't be my thing. And yeah, just naturally got into long jump quickly and picked it up quite quickly as well. And yeah, just drove on from there.
And the different sports complement each other, because if you're thinking of the long jump, there's different parts to it. And obviously at the start, it's the sprint. So one kind of feeds into the other then.
Oh, definitely. Like all the long jumpers there, like they're very good sprinters. I suppose my speed needs to pick up a bit to catch up. But definitely, like, you know, you're not going to go anywhere in the long jump without your speed. So it's definitely a big aspect of the long jump, and you have to have it.
You were telling me before too, Shane, that there's four main areas to the long jump. There's the run up, the takeoff, the flight, and the landing. What's the most important of the four?
I suppose definitely takeoff. Well, I suppose you're kind of tied in with your speed in and your takeoff. Your takeoff is pretty much going to dictate everything in your jump. There's not a whole pile you can do in the air that's incorrect. If your takeoff is well, you're just gonna travel through the air. I suppose it's just holding yourself up in the
in the main positions, but definitely takeoff is crucial to get those angles and to use that speed that you're coming in with to get it into your distance.
I suppose for someone like me from the outside looking in, it looks a very technical sport. So is the technical side of it a part you enjoy as well?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose that's what kind of drove me more into field events and long jump as well, was the more technical aspect of it. I suppose there's a lot more work there during the winter that we do just in around takeoffs and technique and everything. And yeah, that, I suppose that'd be a big part of it for me as well, that I kind of enjoy that and constantly improving that and getting better.
This is probably a silly question for me now, Shane, but when you're soaring through the air, have you time to think about anything for those milliseconds or however long that you're hanging in the air?
Not much at all. I suppose for me, it's just kind of I concentrate on one thing in my mark, because if you're concentrating on too much, you probably get everything wrong. So it's just kind of picking that one thing, sticking with it, and driving through. But it's over in a matter of seconds, the jump. Like, so you really don't have much time to think. It's just kind of straight into autopilot when you're going.
And you've a PB in the long jump. Is it 7 meters, 53 centimeters? And I read before that you want to break that 8 meter barrier. What do you need to do to get there?
That 8 meter, I suppose definitely speed is an aspect of it. I suppose speed, building the rhythm and take off again. So like, I think it was 2 years ago, my PB was from 761. And then last year, then I suppose I was in a good position to break that PB last year, but I suppose I peaked way too early. I was kind of May, June when I was ready to go, but sure, as we know, that was the height of lockdown then. So I was tailing off then when competition started to come back in August. So it's just unfortunate then, but definitely for this year, I suppose the big target is to keep stepping up and kind of break that PB again and kind of step up into the 770s, 780s and push on from there.
You mentioned lockdown. There was great pictures of you last year that were all over the national papers. Yeah. You were training, jumping onto two bales of hay on the family dairy farm in Rathcormac. Talk me through those pictures and that training regime you put yourself through for that first lockdown.
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of nearly back when we were kids, because like we still would be messing around on the farm, jumping in on the straw bales and kind of silage bales and everything. And I suppose a lot of drills I would do, especially in Ireland, since it's always raining, and we might go into hall and we do the long jump onto high jump mats and stuff. So I suppose bales weren't that far removed. Fair enough, they're a bit higher now. But it was just trying to replicate anything that we could to just keep in tow and keep pushing forward with it, not to lose anything over the year.
And talk me through now what a normal training week for you is like. We touched on off air that the Irish National Championships are coming up later, well, at the end of June. So you're probably busy preparing for that now. So what's a normal week for you in the weeks leading up to a big event?
Yeah, I suppose now is very much tapering down. Not doing as much as I would during the winter. During the winter, you have five solid days training, 2 days off at the moment. I suppose we've dropped to 4 days and 3 days off. But still, I suppose, doubling up on the sessions where we can with the speed and the weights and the jumps and the weights and that way. But I suppose everything's kind of tailoring off. I suppose my plyometrics have eased off. I suppose everything's got quicker. Everything in the gym's got lighter and quicker. It's just kind of pushing forward just to make sure that I'm in as best place as I can be for the championships.
And what's the season been like so far for you?
I suppose I've only got in two competitions. I kind of a micro meet there in CAT and didn't get off to a great start there. The weather was not the best. It's just about getting over 7 meters, but was up in Belfast then a few weeks ago and had a season's best then of 7:42. So that was good, and that everything was going in the right direction. And then have another competition coming up next week in AI Games, and then that'll lead into the national championships then. So hopefully everything will keep stepping up.
And is the National Championships the big one for you this year, or have you more targets later on in the year?
Yeah, I suppose definitely National Championships is a big one. It's always nice to win your National Championships. But I suppose looking for me, the main goal this year is definitely to break my PB and keep stepping up and pushing on for next year. I suppose this year, obviously, the big championships are the Olympics this year, but that's out of my reach. I suppose looking on for next year, we were looking at the European Championships, which if the standards stay the same, it's 7:95. So it's just keep pushing up and stepping up to that to hit those standards.
Have you seen those kind of signs and indicators in training where you feel that you're on the cusp, like you said, they are going from the 770, 780s and getting up to that magical 8 meter barrier?
And definitely, like, because I suppose everything in training is tracked and they're constantly looking back at what we've done previous. And all my jumps in training are constantly up. My speeds are up as well. So everything is definitely pushing in the right direction, and it's definitely there. I suppose you just need that one lucky day, lucky jump, just to get it. Like, because sometimes that's all it is when it comes to field events, just get that one good jump in or that one good throw. And once you're there and you have the standards, you know, that kind of stands with you for the next year or two, and you can just kind of keep pushing up in that sense.
So when it comes to the days before the national championships, you'll be praying to the weather gods to make sure the conditions are just right on the day.
Yeah, nice warm weather with a small breeze that doesn't go over 2 meters per second.
And you mentioned there, like, the Europeans next year, and you just touched, obviously, the Olympics are on in a couple of months' time as well. Bigger picture looking forward, are they the sort of events that you want to target and push yourself towards, those huge senior international events?
Definitely, yeah. I suppose, like, the next step for me would be the European Senior Championships, and the standard for that is 7.95, so it is pushing up to get to that, and to get to that 8 meter mark. You know, that's kind of the gold standard for every long jumper, is to get to that mark, and it's definitely where I see myself and want to be. So it's just to keep pushing for those events.
You mentioned there about training, and I touched on it at the start as well, about this new facility that Bendon Athletic Club are looking to develop. You've used the facilities at Bendon Grammar and CIT, but when this development by Bendon Athletic Club is finished, you know, the club will have a place to call home. So for you to be able to train in Bendon, in Bendon Athletics Club new home, you must be looking forward to that, because, like I said earlier, it's a very exciting development for the club.
Well, definitely. It's going to be big, I suppose, in aspect for all field eventers and everything. We'll have an indoor facility where we can actually train. Be it in Ireland, just during the winter, like, getting technical work done is quite difficult. And it'd be great to have an indoor facility where, you know, you're warm and dry and you can get your work done. So it's definitely going to be a big thing for the club and a big thing for West Cork to have. And it'll be great and exciting opportunity as well.
Like you said there, like, that indoor area, as well as having space for sprints and long distance, it will also include jumps and throws area. And that'll be a huge step forward, because even now, let's say for athletes, every Friday and Saturday, athletes from Bendon Athletic Club travel up to CIT to use the facilities up there. And that's 30 minutes, 40 minutes in the car one way. And you talk about rest and recovery and so on. So for Bendon Athletic Club, eventually to have, like I said, a place to call home and have these top class facilities right here in West Cork, just outside Bendon, it's going to be a huge boost to the club, but more so a huge boost for the athletes.
Oh, definitely. It'll just take away all that travel time and trying to organise to get up to the city the whole time. And just have it right on your doorstep, especially with all the athletes that are kind of coming through Bendon at the moment, like you've Nicola and the Hammer, so she'll have a throws area inside, and Dermot O'Connor in the multi events, like, you'll have his pole vault, long jump as well inside there as well. And then, you know, you've done as well, you just ran the European Junior Standard as well, 5K, and Lauren McQuirt as well in the 200, like, she's chasing that 200 meter standard for European Juniors. Like, so there's loads of athletes coming up through the club as well, at the junior level and even younger, that are going to have these facilities and just great facilities at their doorstep, that will just really stand to them. And I suppose as well for the coaches as well, because all the coaches in Ireland, you know, they're all voluntary. So to have the facility right at the doorstep as well is going to be a big thing for them, that they're not going to have to take even more time out of their day to travel up to the city or travel even up to Dublin to get facilities, just to have it right at the doorstep, which would be a massive thing for the club.
And as an athlete, Shane, how important is that rest and recovery?
Oh, it's very important to have, I suppose, in terms of, like, say, from a power athlete or a speed or a jumper, as soon as you do, like, your speed session or you hit on your central nervous system, like, you're looking at 24 to 48 hours for recovery between those sessions. So it's really important to have that. And, you know, it's a critical factor of all athletes to ensure that, you know, you recover properly, that you can go to the next day to be able to train again fully and to have that all planned out, that you be in good condition, that you're not pushing yourself too much, that you'll go into the territory of injuries, that kind of way.
And you mentioned a couple of names of the Bendon Athletic Club stars and rising stars that are doing great things at the moment. Obviously, your Irish long jump champion, Nicola Tuttle, is the Irish women's long throw champion. Phil Healy's doing great things as well, kind of in the sprints. Yeah. Fionn Harrington, Lauren McCourt, kind of, like, it's a great time for Bendon Athletic Club too, across all different sports.
Oh, definitely. Like it's definitely picking up, and especially with Phil, you know, she's pretty much, I'd say, she's going to get the three events for the Olympics, which is massive. Like, not a mind, just one, like, to get the three, it's a really big thing. I suppose she's leading the charge in that sense. And then obviously all the youngsters looking at her coming up along the way as well. It's a big thing. And then it's definitely, the club is definitely developing on. Like, I think we have one of the biggest juvenile bases in Ireland, which is huge, because Bantam, I suppose, has a huge catchment area as well. And it's great to see like everyone coming through, and there'll definitely be a few rising stars coming up through the ranks within the club.
And how inspirational is it for all of you to see someone like Phil Healy, a Bendon Athletic Club member, doing what she's doing? Like you said, she's on track, touch wood, to qualify for three events in Tokyo. She's taken Irish women sprinting to the next level. So for so many young members in the club to be able to look up, and like, they'll want to be the next Phil Healy. So it must be really driving standards in Bendon Athletic Club as well.
Oh, it's definitely a big thing, especially the fact that, you know, that you'd know someone that is going to the Olympics, that you're looking there and being like, okay, I know this person, this is a possibility. Usually you just kind of look at it on the TV and you're like, oh God, like, will I ever get there? Or how do people get there? I suppose just to know someone local, or someone that you trained with, because like myself and Phil are the same age, like, and I've known Phil growing up through the ages, because we did athletics when we were both kids. And you know, just to know someone or have someone that's reaching those standards, it's a big thing. And especially, and it's very good for the club, especially the younger athletes looking up to say, oh, like, Phil's with my club, I've seen Phil train around the place, and now that she'll be going to the Olympics. Like, it is a big thing, and it will definitely drive on the youngsters to do better and get better.
It's a testament to Bendon Athletic Club and all the coaches that so many athletes are achieving so many great things. And like we said at the start as well, Bendon AC have launched a fundraiser on GoFundMe to help raise the first 100,000 that will go towards phase one of the development of the new facilities. So just go to GoFundMe.com and search for Build Our Dream Bendon AC Track Fundraiser, and please make a donation, because like I've said, what this club has done for athletics and sport to put West Cork on the map is phenomenal. So let's all help out now and help this club achieve their dream. So Shane, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Best of luck in the weeks ahead, and best of luck at the Nationals. No doubt you'll be making headlines in the Star Sports pages again by the end of the month.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union. Funding dreams for over 50 years.
Now, Kieran, before we wrap things up on this week's podcast, let's quickly touch on what's to come in this week's Southern Star Sports section. I was going to stop and re-record that part, but I thought, no, it's not worth it. We don't have time. So let's get on with it. Kieran, what do we have to look forward to in Thursday's Southern Star Sports section?
We didn't even touch on the podcast yet, but the Cork Footballers are taking on Westmead on Saturday at Páirc Uí Chaoimh in the Division 2 relegation playoff. So this is a game that the Cork Footballers have to win. If they lose this, they're relegated right back down to Division 3, and that would be a disaster for this team and their development. So I caught up with Cork boss Ronan McCarthy over the weekend to get his thoughts on this game against Westmead and what he feels this Cork team needs to do to bridge the gap to the very, very top teams. So that's in Thursday, Southern Star. Holly O'Sullivan's column is a cracker this week. He's looking at what players need to do themselves and the basic skills and the work ethic and how a player needs to take responsibility for their own action if they want to improve. And he uses his own childhood and as an example of what he did when he was young to help him progress to eventually become a Cork senior footballer. So that is well worth reading. We also, Jack, you'll be delighted to know, have news about the return of West Cork soccer. Not only is the West Cork Schoolboys and Schoolgirls League kicking off this weekend, and we've all the news about that, the draws were made for the various Summer Cup competitions for the West Cork League, including the Beamish Cup, which will be back in a couple of weeks' time. And there's a heavyweight meeting of Dunmanway and Drina Rangers in the opening round there. So that's one to whet the appetite. So we've all the information there on West Cork soccer. Couple of live club match reports in this Thursday Southern Star as well. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. We have live GA back. So Clonakilty against St. Michael's report. John Murphy was in Skibbereen to watch Donovan Rossa even beat Mallow. Joe McCarthy was down in Castlehaven on Monday morning as Castlehaven lost to Valley Rovers. We have a junior game from Tuesday night will be in there. We have mid Cork games. We also have a good interview with Maeve Cahalan, the Cork GA Jewel star, who's in for a busy weekend, Jack. On Saturday, the Cork footballers take on Donegal in a Division 1 league semi-final. And then Maeve is out with the Cork Camogie team on Sunday when they take on Galway in a league semi-final. So this is Maeve Cahalan from the famous Cahalan clan. Do you think of Niall Cahalan, Damon Cahalan, Conor Cahalan? So football is in their DNA. So it was a good chat with Maeve. So as you can see, there's that and a lot more. It's action-packed.
Brilliant stuff, and that will be available in shops across West Cork from Thursday morning. But if you can't make it to the shops, you can always subscribe online. Just go to www.southernstar.ie/e-paper and you can read the Southern Star on your computer, tablet or smartphone for less than €2 per week. Absolutely stonking value. Thanks for listening to the Star Sport podcast this week. We'll be back at the same time next week. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Slán tomu.
We all have dreams, but dreams by their very nature can be difficult to achieve. That's where Access Credit Union comes in. Whether it's going to college, owning a car, or building your dream home, your local credit union can help you to fulfill your dreams. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
You've been listening to a Southern Star Media podcast production. Subscribe to the Southern Star wherever you get your podcasts. For more, visit www.southernstar.ie.